to the old me, scared and unseen. You're the reason I built this dream. Now I speak so others thrive. Turn my scars into sound. I come alive from the ashes of the breakdown. I don't run, I rise, won't back down. This is keep it real, keep it purpose bound. Every word a step, every truth profound. We don't heal in silence, we fight with grace, softness and defiance, lighting up this place.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Keeping It Real on Purpose. I am your host, Edna White. I am a life purpose coach, author, speaker, and instructor. Welcome to Keeping It Real. This is the place where experts have in-depth conversations about their life, relationships, and business in real time. Real talk about real life on purpose, about success, failures, issues, and insight to a better life. And today on the show, we're excited to have our Dr. Monica Y. Jackson, who is the author of Wounds of Wisdom. Welcome, Dr. Monica, to Keeping It Real.
Thank you so much, Edna. I appreciate your platform and your time to allow me to share with your audience.
We are so excited to have you on today because we've been having our fill of authors, and I want you all to know that I was sent the book and it's beautiful. Actually, it's eye-catching, but that's a pun. It's a pun. So it's Wounds of Wisdom, ladies and gentlemen. I want you to go out and kind of get this book because I am reminded of myself in this book. I will tell you that it is jam-packed with gems. So, Dr. Monica, tell us how you show up in the world as the author of Wounds of Wisdom.
How do I show up in the world as the author of Wounds of Wisdom? I just appear.
Well, how do you appear?
I truly come as I am. What you see is what you get. Who you hear is who you hear. Mm-hmm. I'm very authentic. I'm raw. I'm real. I speak truth. I speak my truth.
Okay.
I speak my experiences. I always tell people these are Dr. Monica's views, Dr. Monica's experience. They can't be debated or negated because these are things that I experience, just like the things that you experience. They can't be debated or negated.
That's right. That's good. I like that. I think I'm going to steal that piece from you. I'm going to steal that gem and put it onto my crown. Can't be negated or, what is it, negotiated
debated.
Or debated. I'm going to put that in mind. Put that right there for me. I like that. Audience, I hope you like that. Your feelings. And right now, she's just, before we even get to the book, she's giving us gems. Dr. Monica is giving us gems. So I like that. So, Dr. Monica, this book is so jam-packed with gems. I couldn't even figure out where to start. And I didn't want to do it injustice. So give us a summary. Give the audience and I, well, I already read it. So give the audience a summary of what the Wounds of Wisdom is all about.
Wounds of Wisdom is a book about what I believe God literally set me down to write. When I lost my contracts during the pandemic, I gained one back, my major six-figure contract, and basically was told, you're not meeting expectations, which I know better than that. Mm-hmm. And so literally, that was, I think, of January 29th of 2020. I can't remember what year it was. But 2 days later,
Yeah.
I felt that God was literally waking me up at the same time every single day. And I went to the computer and literally just poured out for 7 days straight, 8 to 10 hours a day. Wow. And I wrote. And literally everything in the book, it is 7 chapters. It's friends' wounds, workplace wounds, church wounds, family wounds, marriage wounds, business wounds, and children wounds.
Mm-hmm.
And literally, I literally just wrote about all those things in the 7 days.
Wow.
Just pouring out. There were times when I didn't really do much but that. Just a little snack just to keep me going. But I felt, you know, this kind of sounds a little gross, but when you think of somebody when they regurgitate, mm-hmm. regurgitate is not something you can control.
Right.
It just flows. And I felt this way when I was writing this book. It was just flowing onto the pages.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a journalist by nature, and there are things in the book that's not even in my journal. So I really believe God was bringing things to my remembrance to share. And honestly, within this book, I did not move anything around. How he gave it to me is how I wrote it.
Okay.
I think I moved one chapter around only because it was out of sequence.
Okay.
And then when someone read the manuscript, I didn't know it was going to be a book, and they said, wow, there's so many words of wisdom. So that particular day, I went into back to every single chapter and recorded words of wisdom, provided resources, and then how to apply them.
That's
how the book became to be.
Nice. Now, since you gave the chapters, I really wanted to delve into 3 particular chapters. You gave 7, but I wanted to delve into the friends' wounds. And that's chapter 3, I believe. Yeah, 3. Chapter 3. So can you give us a little summary of what Friends Wounds is about and, just what some of the gems that's in there?
Okay. You know, Friends Wounds, I was going through a lot of struggle. In 2016, my life turned upside down, literally.
Mm-hmm.
And if anybody recalls what happened in 2016, that's when we really started turning around in this world. The world started going literally left all over. We had a president that was going shooting from every angle.
Yeah.
And literally the things that he was doing was impacting so many lives.
Yeah.
But I believe that there was something in the atmosphere that triggered something in 2016.
Sure.
Because that's when my life, literally, I felt hectic.
Yeah.
So what happens is, during those times, you call on friends who you've been knowing 20, 30 years or even longer. Mm-hmm. You call on people who you've gone to church with, people you respected, mm-hmm. people who held the titles of minister or a spiritual counselor.
Yeah.
And you find yourself not being received by them. You're hurting. You're literally in a state of physically and emotionally dying, and they are not there for you. And I say that they're not there for you. Mm-hmm. When you reach out to someone to say, okay, can I pray with you? I need prayer. Can you pray with me? Oh, I'm going to charge you to pray with me.
What?
Or you contact someone who you thought was a respected person who may not share your embarrassing moments or what you're going through with the whole world to go gossip, and you just need someone to talk as a spiritual counselor. And you get the response, well, you're no longer a member of this church, but since you were a member, and I usually charge people, I'm not going to charge you. So you get this, and you're apprehensive because you don't even want to talk.
Right.
And so these were encounters that I encountered.
Mm-hmm.
And also, when you talk about friends' wounds, I talk about, these are some petty things that I experienced. However, when you are dealing with petty things, if you don't deal with those and nip those things in the bud, they will become major issues and major concerns. You are responsible for how you allow someone to treat you. So I literally reached out to a friend because I needed to talk. And that particular friend did not call me back. I left her a voice message. She sends me a text and says, oh, I'm praying for you. This was weeks later.
Oh, wow.
To this day, I mean, now I didn't respond to that text. I intentionally didn't respond because one, if you didn't value me as a person first and foremost, if you didn't value me as your sister in Christ, is you didn't value me as your friend of over 20 some years to pick up the phone where I'm literally crying and say, I need to talk to someone. And you text me back and say, I'm praying. That's not somebody I want to be involved with. I talk about friends. They're friends for a reason, a season, and a lifetime. Right. And just a purpose. And sometimes you have, when people show you who they are,
believe them.
You accept that. You believe it. And guess what? You move on and hold no grudges.
Yep.
So these are the things that I talk about. I don't deal with back and forth friends. You're either my friend or you're not.
Right.
I don't play that.
Right.
You know, I'm too busy. No, I believe everyone makes time for what
they want. Yeah, exactly.
Period. Because if you can't manage your time, then maybe you need to remove some things from your schedule.
Yeah.
What's more important? Things or people? And right. I think we're seeing that in this world right now.
Exactly. Yeah, you go through belittling friends, seasonal friends, and finally the back and forth friends, which I thought is so poignant. The wishy-washy friends, you know, that they're your friends today, or they pick and choose when they want to talk to you, and they only want to talk to you when they have a problem. They don't want to hear your problem.
Or they want something from you.
Right. Something that they're going to benefit. That they're that type of friend. And I don't think that's a friend. I just think that's just somebody that knows you, you know. And I don't even say associate, because an associate is really supposed to help you. You know, so I just think it's somebody just that you know, and you come upon their mind. Oh yeah, you know. But I like how you broke it down, how each of these friends, these friendships, affected your life. It really affected your life, but you got a lesson out of it, and that's really what I see from your book, is that everything that you went through, you got a lesson from it. And it was vital. It was a page turner. It was something that made you turn the corner from that, you know?
And you know, I'm glad you said that, because for your audience, we all are going to go through some things. But what I want every single person to know, first of all, take control of the things you can control, which is you.
Mm-hmm.
And find out, understand that there's wisdom in every single wound. So the way to get out of these wounds is to recognize that wisdom. What can you control? What can you take away? Leave the rest of that mess alone. I don't want to say another word, but I'm saying it now.
I know what you're saying. Leave it all alone. Yes, that's right. So we're going to jump to church wounds. That's on chapter 4. And I think I have a piece that I want you to just jump into.
Okay.
The baiting game. This was very, 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 I guess, resonated with me. But talk about the baiting game from this church wound.
Okay, it's so funny. Okay, I have to return to the chapter to try to remember. Okay, I'm going to just have to read a little bit of it.
Okay.
I recall an altar call on the first or second Sunday that I visit church 3.
Yeah.
As the pastor went down the line praying for each person individually, when he got to me, he said, whoa, and jumped back. I opened my eyes and he looked startled and spooked. He slowly approached me, laid hands on me, and prayed. I don't recall the prayer, but what occurred at the altar remains etched in my mind and something that I should have paid close attention to, examined, and investigated.
Yeah.
Now, I say that because, one, I wasn't astute or spiritually mature enough to recognize the game and the con. And for some reason, we accept, because we've been raised this way, to accept the man or woman of God that stands in the pulpit, not realizing and understanding that anybody who wants to stand behind that pulpit can stand.
Can do it, yeah.
Called or not called.
That's right.
But we aren't taught that. We're not taught that they're not called. Or I put it right. I wasn't taught that they weren't called. Yeah. So you automatically just respect them. You submit until they show themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, this particular pastor from that day forward invited me to lunch with his wife. At first, I didn't know he was inviting me with his wife because I was like, okay, wait a minute. I don't play these games with these married men, and I just know he's not inviting me out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So during this lunch, as I recall, he was enamored by, wow, how do you think this way? Wow, your credentials. Wow. He was just wowed by me.
Right.
And I get that a lot. But a lot of times I'm thinking now was, you're wowing me because, yes, you are, you may want what I have,
right,
but you're also slithering your way.
Mm-hmm.
You're slithering by, yep, showing or pretending like you care.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's the baiting game
right
there.
Yeah.
And how do you recognize these things? First and foremost, stop giving people authority just because they have a title.
Right.
Whoever it is, allow them to show you who they are. Vet them. Trust your gut instincts.
Right.
And then, especially when you're wounded, pay attention a lot more.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Especially when you're in an unhealthy state.
Right. Exactly.
You know, whether you're hurt, whether you off the streets, coming off of drugs, you're going through a horrible divorce.
Right.
You are major prey for a predator in the pew.
Yeah, absolutely. Permission denied. Permission denied. And that's in the chapter 2. That's in the chapter, permission denied. Come on, tell it.
Yes, it is. Oh, Jesus. So, let's fast forward a little bit on this permission denied. As I said, there was a prey initially.
Mm-hmm.
And so, therefore, I was a single mom.
Right.
With a daughter. And I raised a darn good child. Trust me.
Mm-hmm.
I did the best that I could. And I raised a young lady who I was genuinely proud of.
Mm-hmm.
A young lady who made wise decisions. A young lady who chose her friends carefully.
Mm-hmm.
Who thought, who made decisions. She thought before she spoke. She was respectable. I did not have to set curfews for her. If she found herself in certain environments, she would pull herself out of those. Hey, this is not for me.
Right.
Never had to question her friends, her choices, or anything, ever.
Okay.
The only thing that I've ever had an issue with her was leaving high school in the 12th grade to get pizza, and she should not have gone off campus.
Mm-hmm.
Literally. No, she wasn't a perfect child. However, she was a child who she was wiser than her time.
Mm-hmm.
And because she was an only child, I made her go live on campus college. She chose not to date because she saw things in other people, in their relationships, and the drama she didn't want. She wanted to focus first and foremost,
mm-hmm,
on her education.
Okay.
So she graduated, got her bachelor's in 3 years straight out of high school. 2 years later, She got her master's degree at the age of 23. And during that time, of course, this pastor, well, how old is your daughter? Always these questions about my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, if I had a daughter, I would want a daughter just like your, like her. Try not to call names. And always placing her on a pedestal, just like he did with me.
Uh-huh.
I saw him praying after my child. And even to the point where I cautioned my daughter to be careful of that first family, quote, right. Unquote.
Right.
Because I saw some red flags. I did not know why I was seeing these things,
mm-hmm.
because they weren't blatant,
right.
But my spirit was unsettled.
Yeah, they weren't normal.
My gut instinct,
right.
Was telling me something's not right.
Yeah.
So at this particular church, I felt the Lord was pulling me out 6 months and set me down of everything I was doing,
mm-hmm.
every single ministry. And he's done that to me in 5 churches that I speak about,
mm-hmm.
6 months, either pulling me out or 6 months and showing me things.
Right.
And so fast forward, my daughter's graduating with her master, and she actually wanted to leave the church because people were matchmaking and she did not like the pastor's son. She wasn't interested.
Yeah.
Somehow, somewhere, I don't know how, what was going on, but this child decides to start dating the pastor's son. And within the first week, literally, the third day, I saw a complete change in my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
I saw a transformation that was unhealthy. I said 3 days, the first week.
Wow.
Mind you, this is the first person she's ever dated in,
yeah.
life. I had to literally reel her in the first week and try to school her on obsession, on control, of unhealthy relationships.
Right.
Not realizing that it was too late.
Wow.
Whatever was attached to her, whatever was spoken over her, whatever demonic activity that connected with her had already taken root.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you read the book, a lot of people say it's sex and all this. No, I don't think so at
Mm-mm.
all.
Mm-mm.
I still don't think so because I know my child.
Mm-hmm.
3 days.
Mm-hmm.
First person. Not only that, is this person is also a licensed pastor, minister, or
right.
ordained as well.
Right.
He's about 7 or 8 years older than her.
Mm-hmm.
He has a master's degree in marriage and family therapy.
Mm-hmm.
He did not speak to me at church once they started dating. We would be sitting down and there's 6 people. He'd hug everybody and speak and pass over me.
Wow.
And my daughter said, Mom, did he speak to you? I said, no, he never speaks to me. And she goes, So right there, she recognized that that was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
That's not how she was raised.
Yeah.
Fast forward. This young man may have been to my house maybe once or twice, if that,
mm-hmm.
for 5 seconds, and he's never really come in. He stands at the door and, you know, whatever anointing is in my house, his spirit couldn't handle. Let's put it that way. So my daughter would always meet him. She would always go to him. She was just totally obsessed every single morning. Let's fast forward. He calls me out of the blue, wants to take me to lunch, and I'm sitting here like, okay, Lord, I'm going to go to lunch because he's dating my daughter,
mm-hmm.
and I need to be cordial. Not right. that I was not being cordial, but I wasn't feeling it.
Right.
And so we're sitting at the lunch. First of all, he's an hour late. Second of all, he wants to meet me in a location that during the week when we both live in the same county. During a week, on a weekday. made no sense. That was a red flag right there.
Right.
Because we could have met on the weekend. We could have met where we had more time.
Right.
But no, you want more time. You wanted your manipulation and whatever your plans were. Long story short, 3 months' time. You hear me? Three months of dating my daughter. He asked for her hand in marriage.
And what he
asked me was, what kind of husband would you want for her? I said, I had to hold my tongue. I said, okay, Lord, you know Dr. Monica and her tongue. Because I wanted to say, not you.
Definitely not him. Controller, correct. No, definitely not.
Correct. I didn't say that. I said, well, you know, she would have to choose who she would have to choose. Because she's the one who has to live with that person. I would just expect her to choose someone that's of value.
Right.
And I can't choose for her. I cannot even say what kind of husband I want for her because nobody I say is going to measure up. And that wouldn't be fair for me anyway. I'm 28 years older than my child.
Right.
So I have 28 years more experience. No one can measure up, so it wouldn't be fair for me to respond to that question.
Right.
He went ahead and he asked for a hand in marriage, and I, like it's headed in the book, permission denied.
Yeah.
Permission denied because one, first and foremost, this is 3 months. Because you have not interacted with her mother in a healthy way.
Right.
You have isolated her. You have pulled her away. And that's the only way you can get her. So there's something else going on, whether you know it or not, whether you are intelligent enough to do some things. Either some demonic activity has taken over you as well, or you using your training and manipulating and controlling.
Oh, sure. I'm pretty sure of that. That sounds just right. I mean, when I read it, I was like, yeah, this is definitely the power trick. You know, what I know, who I am, and what I say is going to usurp over you. Yeah, definitely.
And you're the chip off the old block.
Yes. Absolutely.
So I asked him, I says, well, did you talk to your dad about this? Now, mind you, this is my pastor. He says, what did he say? He says, yes, I did. I said, what did he say? He said, go for it, man. I said, let me make sure I understood what you just said. You said, my pastor, your father, who we hadn't had conversation in 3 months' time, told you to go for it, man.
Yep.
Let that sink in.
Yep.
So I'll leave permission denied right there.
Right. Mm-hmm. So at the end of the chapter, you give like words of wisdom. And I think I like this about your book is how you pull out the important pieces and almost not like a summary, but just the gems. And you said in this chapter, particularly the church wounds of words of wisdom number 21, God is not in control. He is in charge. We have control over our choices, actions, and decisions. He doesn't control them.
Correct.
This is so important.
That God, you hear this all the time.
Exactly.
God is in control. Well, let me. All the stuff we see that's going on in the world.
Right.
If God is in control of this, is this the God that I want to serve?
Right.
Is this the body I want to be a part of?
Right.
Okay, so I don't think we understand as Christians what we're saying. We don't understand what we believe.
No.
And we don't understand.
I was going to say that first. We don't understand what we believe. That's first.
Correct. Correct. We have been, it's passed on, it's generational.
Yeah.
It's the norm.
Yes.
It's repetitive.
Right.
Repetitive. It's
That's right.
repeated. And until you are wounded to your core, like I have been, and you're set down and you're pulled away from all this foolishness to get along with you and the true God who's going to speak to you and show you things that are not taught the way that you learned in the church. That's when you know who's in charge and who's in control.
That's right. So the next one is words of wisdom number 22. Stop blaming everything on God. He is not responsible for the trouble you put yourself in. You put on yourself. He is only responsible for the trouble that he allows. I really love this because these are some of the gems that we need to learn as spiritual beings. I personally have been wounded by the church, and I don't subscribe to the name Christianity. I don't subscribe to that because I've been in it, and it didn't draw me any closer until I was out of it. And I was like, wow, this is what being spiritual is all about. This is, I know God more than I've ever known him, the 29 years that I served in religion, in Christianity. So I used to blame God for a lot of things, everything, you know, and or take things to him and say, oh, you fix it. And because I've already done something with it, you know, I've been messed it up and everything. Now you fix it.
You know, I'm glad you said that because, you know, for me, it's almost an embarrassment to say you're a Christian.
It is. It is.
You know, and I say that, I'm sure it's going to offend somebody, but when you understand what Christianity is teaching you.
Yeah.
And what you find out for yourself. Now, let me say this. Dr. Monica isn't a scholar. Right. She isn't all-knowing.
Right.
I did go to school of ministry for 2 years because I needed to unlearn some of this foolishness.
There you go.
And guess what? It didn't help me anymore. It didn't help. So I'm real cautious when I say I'm a Christian, and I say that because of what comes with that. I don't want to subscribe or be associated with the teachings or the misteachings.
Yeah,
or the misguidance.
There you go, misguidance. Yeah, absolutely. Misguidance of Christianity. Because
so
now,
I believe in a God.
Yeah.
I believe in what my God shows me, and I call him God because that's what I was taught.
Right.
Whether that's his real name, her name, or whatever.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. I would say that because I was, I've learned to realize also that God is not to be associated with the pronouns him, her, or because that's us.
Yes.
So this, you know, you can't, the as you learn, as you grow and learn in being spiritual and being closer to the Godhead, the oneness, you find these things out and you grow in them, you know, and I was like, wait a minute, why am I saying him? Because that means that him would be like me. So he's subject to all kinds of stuff. So I learned that now you can't subscribe those pronouns to God.
It's out of habit. It's just habit.
Yes, it's all habit. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
So where I draw my line now is anything that's not about love or peace is not of God.
Yep.
Period.
Period. And you know now, in this climate that we're in, Christianity is being used as the marker of the Proud Boys, you know, and are you willing to be subjected to like be part of that? I remember when our president in 2016 was here, and the people that were Christians, who were my friends at the time. I went to the inauguration when Obama was inaugurated, and I would get these inboxes and emails from the friends who were Christians, who were, you know, white, and they wouldn't say anything rude. It would be, this is what Trump did, and this is what Obama did. Choose you this day.
Mm.
What? I'm like, don't you ever, ever come in and say this to me. Well, I just want you to see. I said, I never asked you who you voted for. I never will. And if you are going to side with somebody who's speaking ill of everyone. Nobody's exempt from this foolishness. If you are subscribing to hate, I don't want to be involved with that. I don't want to be involved with it. And it's so important that we have to become individuals. We have to be different. And see, if we really subscribe to Jesus' life, Jesus didn't walk the way everybody else walked. His own tribe of Jews, he didn't walk with them. So we're not even paying attention to the words that we read. Jesus was a whole rebel. He was a whole rebel. He went a whole different direction of what his people have from years of teaching. And it wasn't like light teaching. It wasn't like what we get now. You know that, right? It wasn't that light teaching. You know, the little bit we get, we open the Bible, it was some deep, deep things. You know what I'm saying? And he was educated in it. This is what they did. Like from little small babies up, you know, they raised him to know this verbatim, this Jewish law, Hebrew, all of it, to learn it all. He went the other direction. But if we were subscribing, like you said, to Christianity, we would really look at the words that we're reading. Jesus didn't go the same way that everybody else did. We all go in droves to the church. Jesus didn't do that. He didn't do that. So we don't know what we're doing. We don't know.
Absolutely. You're right. People don't know what they don't know.
They don't know.
And people don't think. Mm-mm. I taught critical thinking and problem solving for over 10 years at mm-hmm. the university level. And one thing about that's one of my favorite classes to mm-hmm. this day to teach, because I can talk about anything. And when you listen to people, people who think they're bright and intelligent, they have wisdom, that they, you know, it's really sad mm-hmm. because what they're doing is they don't understand. They are followers repeating what they've been told.
Absolutely. They really are. They're followers.
And standing on it. They will fight you over mm-hmm. it. And, you know, you talked about 2016. I told you that was a crazy year. Mm-hmm. I talk about losing another friend, a white friend, mm-hmm. during that time, which was my doctor.
Right.
my medical doctor. All because I cautioned them during a podcast on saying, you know, carefully using All Lives Matter.
Right, exactly.
Black event.
Exactly. Exactly.
I wasn't calling them racist.
Right.
I'm just saying be careful with using that term because during this time, we are sensitive to this.
Right, right.
And that
was a whole, you're right, that was a whole time, a whole crazy time that we had to even prove ourselves. We were more sensitive and hypervigilant about, you know, hypersensitive to words, you know, and it was a very critical time because there was like, you know, beratement everywhere, just everywhere. It was just everywhere. You're right. It was really there. That really was there. Bad.
But this particular doctor actually started to threaten me, sending me emails, harassing me, literally calling me a racist and going on and on. It got mm-hmm. so bad that I told him, I said, you know what? You send me one more thing and we will escalate this legally.
Yeah.
Because I'm not tolerating this.
Yeah.
And so again, like I said, 2016, there was a major shift. It's like something just fell from the sky.
Oh yeah.
Some stupid juice.
Yeah. It fell from a leader's mouth that gave everybody provocation to do it.
Well, yes, but not just them, but even our own people.
Yeah, I know. It just fell from the leader's mouth. Listen, we are, and I want to say this, I don't want to say it with caution, but we are so open for leadership.
Yes.
Listen, black folks need to be leaders. We are born leaders. But because we've been enslaved, and some of those that are still enslaved now, right? Or just enslaved in general, have that enslaved mindset, they want a leader. I don't care who it is. Black, white, they will pay attention. I used to get floored by, why are you listening to him? If you know he's stupid, why are you sitting here on, why are you listening? You're letting this go into your soul.
Correct.
Because they have to have a leader. They don't care who it was. And you know in the scripture, correct, you know in the scripture, right? They had to have a leader. Just give us a leader, right? They didn't care. They didn't care who it was. They didn't care what they did. They give us a leader. That's how the enslaved enslaved mindset is.
If we don't stop and listen and pay attention to what's going on, COVID, abortion, overturning Roe versus Wade.
Yeah.
If we don't stop and pay attention, we are going to go back to what our ancestors had to go through.
Yep.
People do not understand. It's not about a Christianity. It's not about pro-life. It's not about any of that.
Nah.
People better pay attention.
Nah. Has nothing to do with Christianity, believe it or not. Not one thing does it have to do with. That's what I was telling somebody. I said, it doesn't have nothing to do with no Christianity.
Correct. And keep on following these foolish people that are telling you that it's about Christianity. Because guess what? Like I said, you don't know what you believe anyway.
Exactly. You ask them and they won't even know. They don't even know. I said, oh, who you repeat that from? Because I heard that. I heard that same statement. Verbatim. So who told you that statement? See, you're just repeating something. You don't have a feeling. You don't have an opinion of your own. You didn't form an opinion on your own. And it's sad. That's really sad about religion, you know, the church that we're talking about, the church wounds. And those are some severe wounds. Words of wisdom number 26. Pastors are not dictators or rulers. Yeah. They can't tell you to do something and expect you to blindly follow or trust. You will follow some of them in the pits of hell.
No, to the pits of hell.
To the pits of hell. So, that's that. You know that all this rings true to me, right? And this is why we met in the first place, because everything you said was like boom, boom, boom. It was like fireworks, yes. Everything that we talked about was like fireworks. Yes, I've been there. So I like what you say. I like how you pull this out. Audience, you have to get this book. You have to get it. I'm just going to let Dr. Monica plug where to get this book from right now. Just, you know, tell us how we can obtain a copy of this book, how my audience can look for this book to find it.
Before I share that, I do want to say something about this.
Okay.
There's a difference between believing and knowing. Hearing and believing is different than knowing.
Yeah.
There's a lot we don't know.
Yeah, absolutely.
But we stand on it.
Right.
We don't, and I'm going to say this, and I'm sure it's going to offend some people. We don't know, K-N-O-W, if there is a heaven and a hell. We don't.
Show don't.
None of us have been there to come back to tell it.
True that. So we're going to waste all this time trying to get somewhere, put some reward into something that we don't even know is there. Silly.
Okay.
How silly is that? Let me tell you,
I'm not trying to change anybody's views, anybody's beliefs.
No.
I'm telling you to think for yourself, know for yourself, don't follow blindly.
No.
Learn to stand. You know, if you have to stand alone, stand alone.
Yeah.
Because you're accountable for your actions. No one else's your decision, your choice.
Nope.
Now, where you can get the book? DrMonicaJackson.com is where you can get the book.
Easy. Very easy. Very easy. Very, very easy. So now that you shared this, thank you, audience. She said it again. I'm going to put it on our post. It's DrMonicaJackson.com. Simple and easy. So I'm going to share that so that if anyone missed it, you will have it available to you to order this book. This is a wonderful book, and I enjoyed it. I really, it took me like 3 days to really read it because I kept laughing.
Okay.
And I kept laughing because it was so familiar, you know what I mean? And I kept laughing, and I had to put it down. I said, Lord, no, she's telling the truth. And then I get in my own little tangent, then I forget to go back. I said, Lord, I gotta go back to this book, you know? So it took me 3 days. But it was enjoyable because it was just, it was so familiar and so very true. I know, and I know in the beginning of the podcast, you did tell us that it was God inspired. But tell us, who is your strength? And I'm probably thinking it's probably your daughter, because you talk a lot about her. And you know, who keeps you inspired being this author that you are? Who keeps you inspired? Is there somebody special that kind of keeps pushing you?
No, there isn't. It isn't
okay.
My daughter.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. All right. I was thinking it was. I was wrong.
And I say that. Let me say this. Here's the reason why.
Okay.
This happened in 2016.
Okay.
I have maybe spoken to my daughter maybe 3 times.
Okay.
Within that time to this date.
Okay.
Which is 2022. Mm-hmm. The last time I physically saw her was 2019.
Oh, wow.
When her husband was flatlined.
Oh, wow.
So, several times.
Right. Oh, boy.
I won't spill the beans on what happened with that, but that unhealthy, all of that.
Right.
But I think my source is my readers.
Okay.
And I say that because every time someone reads the book and comes back and shares with me the impact it's had on them, mm-hmm. or they share their stories, which is far worse than what I've ever gone through.
Right. Yeah,
that, I that know gives strength. That yeah. is my calling, so to speak, mm-hmm. to help someone heal through their wounds and to help someone avoid the wounds or come out of wounds that they're in. I may not ever be able to reach my daughter.
Right.
And I'm very content with that.
Right.
That's her choices, her journey that right. she has to live.
Right.
Mommy can't live her life for her. I had to release that. Now, why? That's not easy for a parent to do.
Right.
But I tell you what, when you read the story of how I almost physically died over that situation,
well,
it's either my mm-hmm. life or me trying to save something right. or intervene and change something I have no control over.
Right.
I choose me every time.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm my own inspiration.
Yeah. Okay.
My peace. And right. at the end of the book, I say my peace. Mm-hmm. People don't realize that you can forgive them without speaking to them again.
Right.
It's not a grudge. It's peace of mind.
Right. That's right. Your peace.
That's where I am.
Your peace, peace. Your peace and not your pieces, it not being in pieces.
Absolutely.
That's right.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So as an entrepreneur, because this is what you, this is a source of income, okay?
Yes.
This is your business. Can you tell us some challenges that you have as an author?
As an author, first of all, people think that you have to make a name for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that's the silliest thing in the world. Everybody starts from unknown.
Right.
I'm not trying to become famous. A lot of people, as an author, I'm not trying to be the next bestseller. I'm not
right.
trying to sell a million copies.
Right.
I'm not trying to do all these things. I'm trying to change lives. I'm
right.
trying to help people heal. Now, with that, if it comes to the million, I'm grateful for it and I
right.
would love it.
Right.
But that can't be Dr. Monica's focus.
Right.
So when I go to seminars, oh, you can make $1 million in a year. That does not motivate me because
mm-hmm.
I'm not motivated by the money,
right.
so to speak.
Right.
I've learned to live below my needs so that when something happens, I don't have to be homeless.
Right.
And so, you know, a lot of us people of color,
mm-hmm.
we spend every dime and dollar we get because we haven't taught how to use money.
No.
How money works for us.
Right.
So also the more you get received, the more you go, there's more required of you. Taxes
yeah.
and so forth
yeah.
and so on. My desire with the book,
mm-hmm.
I definitely want to sell this book. Because it's not because I wrote the book. It's a necessary book.
Right.
It's not a book that nobody's going to tell you these things. Nobody's going to speak up about these things that I'm talking
right.
about, but people are living them. And so I offer a course in every single one of these, for every single one of these chapters
mm-hmm.
as well.
Right.
I started Wholeness Academy. And okay. it has seven courses
mm-hmm.
over for each chapter. Overcoming right. friends wounds, overcoming church wounds, overcoming family wounds,
mm-hmm.
overcoming children's wounds, and speaking engagements. That's my passion.
Right.
Those three things are my passion. Sell this book to get the book out there.
Mm-hmm.
Because once you read the book, you know my message, my mission, and my
right.
movement. And therefore, now you need to invest in a course
mm-hmm.
so that you too can move forward and have peace. And pay it forward to someone else.
Right.
And how do you find out? Book me as a speaker. So
right.
someone else can hear my message.
Right.
That they can heal. That's my true passion. And
right.
so my kind of the issues that I see is getting out there and being booked for these
mm-hmm.
things.
Right.
You go pay an Oprah Winfrey, you go pay Miss Van Zandt and Steve Harvey, all these billions, and they're never gonna touch your life the way that
mm-hmm.
this book will.
Yeah, you know, I think that's important to say. I think that's important to say. Buy the book.
Correct. We want to dream of being celebrity status, but they once were nobodies and unknowns too.
Right. And on top of that, they realized these courses that you're offering, they have taken those courses with someone. We'll take Oprah and all of those people that she has, you know, had on her show. I'm pretty sure she purchased a couple of their courses. I'm more than sure that she purchased their courses. More than sure. Because she had to get where they are to talk to them. You know, knowledge-wise, you know? So think of it as an investment in yourself to have growth. It's like getting a potting soil. For a plant, you have a plant and you know it needs to be potted, and you just let it sit there and kill itself. That's silly. Buy the potting soil, make the investment, and grow. Let the plant grow. Just like buy the book, read the book. You know when you and that's another thing. When you buy the book, read the book.
Yes.
When you read the book, if there's something in there that you need to go to, as Dr. Monica says, if there's an online course, purchase the book or purchase the course and go to and do that. Invest in yourself because you don't know everything.
Right.
You don't know everything. And
right.
try as you may, and like the points that she shared in each of these books, the words of wisdom, you have to make a decision, make a choice, and do some actions. Because God is not going to bring you out of something that you self-imposed yourself. He's not going to do
yes.
it. So he trusts that you're here. You have all the equipment you need. There's resources. There's the source. Then there's resources, which is Dr. Monica, myself, others that have information that can help you get past these wounds. Right?
Yes. Absolutely.
So, Dr. Monica, what are the best resources that helped you as being an author? Can you share some of those resources with my audience on, you know, if there's someone out there that wants to be an author, can you share?
No, you know, I'm going to go back to, I used to have a publishing firm.
Mm-hmm.
Many years ago, I've helped several authors self-publish their books.
Right.
And it was because a pastor asked me to write a book.
Right.
And I researched it, and so I started to write the book. But one thing I tell people to do is, first of all, have a purpose for writing your book. What's your reason for writing the book?
Yeah.
That's first and foremost. I don't subscribe to writing a book for the purpose of shaming anybody,
mm-hmm.
of, you know, airing dirty laundry, so to speak.
Right.
Without airing your own laundry.
Right.
And I've seen books like that.
Mm-hmm.
But that's because you're not healed.
Right.
You're working on harming others and telling your story. But who is it helping? So have a purpose. Like I said, when I wrote this book, I had no intent of writing this book. I had no intent of releasing because it was embarrassing. You know, it really was.
Of course it was.
And I still read it sometimes, and I'm like, my goodness, did you put it that way, Dr. Monica? Did you have to say it like that? And so first of all, have purpose for writing.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be attracted to the money. Who is it going to benefit? Who is it going to serve? Then just write. Don't worry about your grammar or anything like that.
Right.
Your goal is to get it out on paper. Just write continuously.
Mm-hmm.
Don't continue going back over and repeating and reading it from beginning to end.
Right.
Because you'll never get through it. You got to go back and keep changing.
Yep.
Get it all out.
Yep, you're right.
Once it's all out, I always encourage people, be the master of your destiny so that, in other words, learn the business.
Mm-hmm.
So that you don't get taken.
Right.
Make sure, okay, some of the things, well, I'm not a good writer, I'm not a good editor. Get a grammar book. They have books all day long.
Sure do. And they have Grammarly.
Correct. You know, and I tell people when you edit your book, if you're using it in Microsoft Word, turn on the read aloud feature.
Exactly.
Listen to what you're writing and follow it. Is it making sense to you? It's going to tell you, you know, if it's a run-on sentence, because things just keep flowing. You're not using the right word. It's not enunciating the right word.
Right, right.
So don't rush the process. Learn the process.
Right.
I tell a lot of people this. You'll value your book more. And do, like I said, research.
Right.
Who can produce this book for you?
Right.
And I'm going to plug this and say this because I know a lot of people do this. I do not I do not have my book on Amazon. Mm-hmm. I will not put my book on Amazon.
Okay.
I've had bad experience with Amazon. Amazon is not the be all, and people need to investigate that.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, it's a huge platform that can reach a lot of people. However, you need to investigate what's a different solution besides Amazon.
Absolutely.
And too many people go to some of these places. Why can't we pull together and create our own?
Yeah, exactly. Well, thank you, Doctor.
That helped.
Yeah, it did, Dr. Monica. It really did. I know the audience is really paying attention, and I know that there'll probably be questions, but we, you know, this is a great piece that you're doing here, and we thank the audience. I know the audience, and I love it, but we're going to switch this from the business part, and we're going to turn the tables, and we want to know about you personally. So I'm just going to ask you one question, because we're getting close to the 60-minute mark, and we want to get this in. So I'll ask you one. If you could have a billboard with anything on it, what would it be and why?
The billboard would say, choose you.
Ah, good.
Choose you. Okay? And here's the reason why. We need to learn self-care and self-love.
Amen to that one. That's right.
Because if everybody chose themselves, invested in themselves, healed themselves, valued themselves, we wouldn't see a lot of the things that we're seeing in this world.
Absolutely. Nope.
We teach people to love themselves.
Mm-hmm.
People commit suicide. People shoot up in masses because they feel unloved, unheard, bullied. Mm-hmm. And so my billboard would say, choose you.
Right. Absolutely. Well, that brings us to the end of the show. Thanks for listening, audience. And if you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to help support the podcast, please share it with others. Post it about on social media, leave us a rating and a review. And if you'd like to leave a message for Dr. Monica to answer, all you have to do is click the button on the bottom that says record your message, and I'll make sure that I get your message to Dr. Monica. And if you want to catch up with me, you can catch me and follow me around Facebook at EJW Coaching. On Instagram, EJW Coaching, and on Twitter, EJW Coaching. Thanks again, and I'll see you next time. This is Edna White and my esteemed guest, Dr. Monica Jackson, saying bye for now.
Bye, and thank you.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.